Good afternoon. I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised that it's not just myself and Chad in here. So thank you for your attendance, as I think this is one of the last sessions of the whole conference. So I appreciate that. I will want to acknowledge my co-authors right off the bat. Robert Foster and Philip Dixon, these are statisticians at Iowa State University, so they worked closely with Roger Elmore, state corn specialist with us, to develop these recommendations and to provide really good statistical consultation on this project. So what I hope to show you in these next 15 minutes are not necessarily the exact recommendations for Iowa, but you will be able to see that. That'll be clear as we go through the slides, but more so, how were these recommendations developed? What was the reasoning, why we developed them the way that we did? I think you'll be able to see several differences from the way we approach this project from past planning date recommendations. So I'll try and point those out clearly as we go through it. As you go through the literature, corn planting date is probably one of the best documented in the research literature, and one of the best researched over all years and up to current day. So I'm not going to try and recap all of that. I'll show you just a couple highlights from a paper by Dr. Kucharik in 2006, published in Agronomy Journal. And he looked at just overarching trends that we see in the Corn Belt in terms of planting date. So why are we even still talking about planting date is really what he was looking at, and what changes do we observe. So he took 12 of the major Corn Belt states and looked at the time span from 1979 to 2005. And the big changes that he's observed, using the USDA crop progress reports, is that we're planting corn earlier. I think we all see that. The range is anywhere from 0.3 to 0.8 days quicker every year. So the average there on that second bullet is half a day. So what that means is every other year, you're a day sooner progressively. And we do see a change based on geographics. So the southern states are more towards that 0.8, and the northern states are closer to the 0.3. So we see even earlier plantings in the southern region. But of course, that's generalized. And then the thing of note, or thing of interest that I saw as well, is that it's not a one-to-one ratio. So the completion isn't directly related to the initiation. So farmers plant earlier, but they don't end as early. So for example, Iowa begins 13 days earlier in 2005 than they did in 1979, but they only end 8 days earlier. And there's a couple reasons. I think large acreage is the major one for that. So what are the reasons, the major reasons that producers are going towards earlier planting dates and think they're better overall? One is larger equipment. Producers are just able to get over the acreage quicker and get their work done across that large land base. Also, it's largely related to increased stress tolerance in our hybrids, and then better seed treatments on those hybrids. And that directly relates typically with better cold and wet soil tolerance early in the spring, meaning we have better consistency in emergence. And then reduced tillage systems. So either producers are using no-till or very reduced till, so they finish their early spring tillage, finish that trip across the field, and then are able to plant right afterwards. Also, increased farm size on a producer level requires earlier planting. If you think of it, producers want to get their corn planted in the optimum time. To do that, if they have a larger land base, they have to get into the fields earlier to try and hit that optimum window. And then finally, if you look across research, just the past or the general consensus in research and also farmer experience is that you have less risk and less yield loss if you plant before the optimum window than if you plant late. So it's always better to err on the early side than waiting too late. And that's even with considering frost and that type of thing. Okay, so that's the intro. Now we're going to look at what did we exactly do with this research project. We have four research objectives, and I'll list these off real quick. One, what are the optimum planting windows for maximum yields? Two, how do new recommendations based on 2006 through 2009 data compared to previous Iowa State University recommendations that are based on research from a decade ago? Third, how is plant growth and development impacted by varying these planting dates? And then, are grain yield differences correlated with differences in growth and development? Meaning, can we explain the yield loss because we are changing the growth and development. So don't worry. For today, I'm only going to go over the first item here. What are the optimum planting windows for maximum yield? If you'd like, or if have any questions on the other three, I can definitely address those in the question section. Okay, so materials and methods. We have a lot of site years, which you'll see as we start going into this. I'm not going to go into specifics on each of the sites, but more so just provide some details that I think are important to understanding this project. We have 3 years that go into the recommendations. You can see here 2006, 07, and 09. We did conduct the study in 2008, but if you're familiar with Iowa, we had a flooding conditions and heavy rainfall all spring, and then that was followed by cool temperatures. So because it was an atypical year, I didn't think it was fair to put it into the recommendations and use that for predicting into the future. So that was pulled out, all locations from 08. We also have multiple locations in this data set. There's 6 Iowa State University research and demonstration farms. Each of those demonstration farms have a farm manager where they are on the ground and unable to plant that corn on the dates that we request. So they're really there and able to get in when the field conditions are best. There was one research farm also that I pulled all data out. So there was some quality issues and lack of difference anyway from the other sites, meaning it didn't really contrast compared to the sites nearby, and because of quality issues, decided it would be best to pull out. So if we had kept in all sites, we'd be close to almost 30 site years, but because pulled out several sites for these varying reasons, we have 18 site years. Okay, so here's our locations across Iowa. We have 3 in the north, 2 in the south, and the one site that I mentioned that had quality issues came right in here, so it responded similarly to these 2 southern locations, and then 1 in the center. The colors will mean more in a little bit, so don't worry about understanding those greatly now. So we covered the state of Iowa, I think, pretty well. The research design, we are interested in just trying to capture normal planting dates, so we're not interested in replant considerations with this data set or really late planting dates, just trying to capture what are producers doing in Iowa and what we want to be recommending to them. We use 5 planting dates with 3 to 4 replications per site. And then our target planting dates was basically from the 1st of April to the end of May in 15-day increments. So we wanted to try and capture the window that farmers normally plant in Iowa, which is late April, early May, and then go about 15 days plus or minus on that. And then we planted as early as possible and adjusted the intervals between remaining planting dates to end at the end of May. And I'll show you an example of what this actually looks like once it gets played out. I think this is really a critical key to our design of the study. And then finally, our concern was not the actual calendar date, but more so the fit. So if you look here on the second bullet, 5 planting dates with 3 to 4 replications, we always had 5 planting dates, regardless of when we were able to actually get into the field. So we never dropped out 1 or 2 categories or that type of thing, which is the tendency in other research that's been published, is that we categorize based on the first planting date, second planting date, or we just call it late April, early May, that type of thing. But here we have exact dates, and then always want 5 dates to provide the best modeling. So what this looked like actually once we hit the field, our 5 target dates here. So this is what we communicated with the farm managers, that if possible, we would love for them to be able to hit these 5 dates. So we wanted to start on the 1st of April, then 15 days later, go in again, and then so forth to the end of May. So we had a few locations actually able to do this. Our best example is the northern site in 2009, and you can see they were able to accomplish our target dates almost exactly on key. Only plus 1 day, minus a couple examples. Another example where this doesn't play out the best is 2007 at the same farm. So you can tell at this location we were not able to get into the field until the 18th of April. And so typically what would happen, or what sometimes happens in other trials, is that means we just drop this first planting date entirely and we call this the second, or we would call this the first planting and just go with it since it's the first for that year. But instead what we did is we took this date and then we calculated, okay, We know we're starting on this date. We still want to end on the end of May. So we have 43 days total. We have 4 planning dates to go. So dividing that out, that comes to 10.75 days between each of the remaining plantings. So then we adjusted the dates, and then we communicated those to our managers. So you can see then with the readjustments, they were able to hit about 10, 11 day intervals. So we still have 5 dates, providing better modeling. Just a couple other highlights. Our hybrids varied by company, although we intentionally had triple stack hybrids placed in this to try and reduce our variability at the sites and have pest control handled as best as possible. Our seeding rates varied from 30 to 36,000 seeds per acre. I'm sorry, I forgot to convert this to metric. I realized that earlier. This would be about 80,000. So analysis of data, one key is that we use the plant population data to decide which plots were kept for yield. So this is always one point of contention with planting date research, is because planting date and plant population are inherently confounded, because if you plant early, you typically have some reduction in plant population. So should you keep it at what it was? Should you plant it at higher levels and then thin? That type of thing. So the best way we decided to handle the data was that we would plant it all at one recommended population, and then I discarded any data that fell outside a 25% medium final site population. So using median was important, because if you use mean, you have the outliers weighing the mean. So if you use the median, then you discard the outliers, can find the median for that site, and then if a plot didn't meet that population, it was discarded. And that's simply so that plant population isn't driving the planting date response. Really? I always go long. Yeah. But it's the last session. I don't want to hold you guys here for more than an hour, so don't. Okay, and then multiple statistical analysis were conducted based off a day of year. So we took our calendar dates, converted them to a linear scale of 1 to 365, so that way we could run it in the models better. So that's day of year. And then we also get a lot of questions if planting dates are better predicted based off of air temperature or soil temperature. So we also converted every planting date to soil growing degree days at planting at a 4-inch soil depth, or air growing degree days at planting. So we did it 3 times, the analysis, and basically the day of year still provided the best fit. So the soil or air temperatures were not a better predictor than day of year. So we can still go forward with that, at least for Iowa. That's the best. And then I converted it back to calendar day for the graphics here. And all 3 years are combined in the analysis. So otherwise, other than those things, we fit a quadratic equation to all of the sites. And then another key difference with this data is that we find the point of maximum yield, 100% yield, and then we're developing windows of achieving either 95% or greater yield or 98% greater, and I'll show why that is. Okay, so there's 5 steps in building the recommendations from this point on of how we came to it, and I'll just go through each of them. I think this should go fairly quickly. So the first is determine whether any locations respond similar to one another. So if you remember, we had 6 locations. Do we need to have 6 recommendations for Iowa, or can we start grouping some of those together? Second is we need to separate the counties into regions. So if regions do exist, where do you draw the line? How do you determine that? Then we need to determine the start and end dates to each of our recommendations. And then finally, we need to develop those optimum planting windows, which is 4 and 5. So we'll look at the first one here. Each line here represents 3 years of data summarized per location. So basically what you should see here is that their sites don't respond identical to one another. There is variation across the state of Iowa. So is there a pattern is the question. Can we group any of these? And I think yes. The northern and the northeast sites have a similar yield decline and a similar shape. Same with the center part of the state, Ames, and the northwest corner. We see a very flat response at those 2 locations, and just not a significant drop. And then the southern locations with southwest and southeast, we see much more of a quadratic response where we have this decline early on, peak, and then decline. So we're going to group each of these two locations. So same coloring that we're using, the north and the northeast get grouped together, center and the northwest, and then our two southwest and southeast locations. So we developed these recommendations in part where the research farms were at, but then also taking into account environmental data in terms of heat accumulation and rainfall, and then also some soil type differences that we know to occur across the state. So the question is, when should we start and end our curves or quadratic models that we fit to each location? If you notice, the starting points vary, but the endpoints do not. I'll make a comment first on the endpoints. If you remember, we always wanted to end at the end of May, and so the climate or just the soil temperature and everything is just much more predictable that time of year, and we can always hit that target date pretty close. The starting points vary because we couldn't always attain the exact same date that we wanted, so the starting points are the mean of the 6 site years going into each location. And I think that's important. We don't want to extrapolate beyond or backwards from what the data says. Okay, then finally, how do we determine those windows? I'm just going to look at the southern region for an example first. So we first find, where do we have 100% yield obtained at this location or at this region? It correlates with April 27th. So from that point, we understand that we have 100% yield obtained. And now we want to go 5% plus or minus that point. So we say that our yield is whatever here, 195, and then we take 5% of that plus or minus to come up with this window, which correlates to April 11th to May 13th. And if farmers want to maximize their yield more relative to planting date, they can go with the 98% yield window, which basically keeps them on top of this curve even more. So now they're plus or minus 2%. And that tightens the window. So the southern region is our best example. There are a couple caveats where this gets complicated. For example, this central region. We know 100% yield is obtained on average with a planting date of April 24th. If we go 5% plus or minus, that brings us out quite a ways here on the back side or the front side of the curve to May 18th. But because we can't back extrapolate, because we don't have the data to warrant that, we are not going to go beyond the parameter, that boundary that we set as April 15th. So we're going to have the same start date, regardless if you're working under 95 or 98%. And the same with the northern, which I'm going to skip over. So then once we have those, we can come forward with these type of recommendations, put it on a state level that this is 95% or 100 to 100 yield, or we could fine tune it to 98%. So final concluding remarks. I think there are several advantages to this approach, and I realize I might be slightly biased, but I think it's good because we're not forcing the data into arbitrary grouping. So we're not saying that it has to fit into category 1 or category 2. We're allowing the data to be fit to model based on just calendar day or day of year. I think we're retaining more accuracy and being able to provide more detailed recommendations because of that. It also, I think, really helps with developing those windows. So we tell producers that you can expect 98 to 100% yield if you plant within these 2 to 3 weeks of time. I think what that does from an agronomic standpoint is be a little more accurate, because we realize there's variability year to year in how planting dates are going to respond. So I think sometimes if we tell growers that if you plant this 1 week, that'll give you 100% yield, but if you're 2 days late, you're going to expect 2 bushels less or that type of thing, which I don't know that it's that exact when we tell producers that. So I think this, a window of time that they can expect year in and year out to be having good results, is important. And then also it's a good teaching tool to show that regions don't respond the same way to planting date. Portions of the state are more responsive. And then finally, clients can more easily grasp the influence of weather and length of growing season. For example, our northern part of the state, they have the shortest window of time to plant, and that's because their length of growing season is most limited, so they need to get out of the field as soon as possible to maximize that. So it lends itself well to teaching and applying agronomic and management principles. And with that, I will end. Just acknowledge the people on the left, our staff, and then also undergraduate and graduate research assistants with Roger Elmore and I. And then on the right are all the farm managers at Iowa State University that planted this trial and managed it. So it was a huge effort. Thank you for your time, and I'll take any questions if you have any. Yeah, Joachim.
In wheat science, emergence models, they start using hydrothermal time, and you alluded to that one of the reasons the south is really different is because of the soil type and the precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered looking at hydrothermal time as a means rather than calendar date? Because that may really flip things back and forth as far as what the optimal date is.
Okay, who does that? Who did you say at the beginning?
With hydrothermal time,
yeah.
Combination of soil temperature and amount of available precip, amount of available water in the soil profile, and that drives a lot of times emergence of weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Did you consider that as a variable
So in weed science. Okay, so I'll repeat just for the recording. Have I considered or have we considered using hydrothermal time instead of air growing soil degree temperatures, growing degree days? No, I have not. I have not seen that used, so I was not even aware of that. So that may have potential. I guess I would need to look at it to be more aware, so I can't answer your question. Well, I think in the northern regions, especially, our colder soils are always paired with wet conditions typically. So I suppose I would look at that region first to see if it responds, but I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Thanks, Chuck. Yes. Okay, so yes, question is was too much data taken out, and are there limitations to the recommendations, or is it not as accurate because of that now? So out of 27 years total, we have 18. The one location that we dropped out entirely because of quality issues, that's typically not a crop management research facility, so some of the management typically conducted or done at that site just wasn't up to our standards, and we didn't think we wanted to recommend that for producers that have higher levels of management. So I felt fairly secure in taking that site out. And also the responses, if you fit a general curve to their responses, it was no different than Southwest and Southeast. All that changed is the amount of noise or variability around that changed quite a bit. So I felt that the recommendations wouldn't change. It would just be less statistically sound, but our recommendations to farmers would be the same. And then with 2008, it was such an anomaly of a year. Fields were underwater and the conditions were just water soaked all year and then very cool temperatures, and that's really an anomaly compared to most years. So I think going forward we made the decision that it would be better to use years that are
that's
similar.
Mm-hmm. So you have 3 years of data. How common in a 30-year period, how often do you have that kind of weather? How representative is those 3 years of the weather over the 30 years?
Yeah, how similar is 2008 compared to other years? I had the data compiled, or we compiled the data at once, and I don't remember inches or that sort of thing, but it was a 100-year flood, is that right, Iowa people? 500-year flood. So one of the main things is that we couldn't even get in and plant a lot of our plots until May. And so then we wanted to end at May. And so is there any point to fit five intervals all within 1 month? And then two, we didn't want to go into June because then that gets into replant conditions most years. So, yeah.
I think if Bruckner had just published a paper for Montana, that is Montana, and you didn't talk about how it changed over the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Bruckner just said that, you know, whatever is changing, allows us to plant 2 weeks earlier under Montana conditions. How different are your recommendations this from a decade, from 2 decades ago? And what is, I mean, you gave a whole bunch of reasons why farmers want to plant earlier, but has the environment allowed for it in of itself? I mean, what parameters do you have to indicate that it is indeed changing, and what are the underlying things that are driving that? Bruckner said it's simply because, well, Montana warmed up.
Okay, so I'll try and summarize that. So, yeah, how has recommendations changed over the years, and then does the weather warrant it, or what is changing it? I think if you talk to farmers, you generally pick up a sense that it's warming in the spring to allow them to get in earlier. There's always going to be a point where we have frost dates that we can't extend beyond that, and I'm wondering if we're almost to that point now that we can't really go much earlier before mid-April because of rainfall and that type of thing. I think if you look at past research, some of the limitations are that the number of locations going into the recommendations are limited. So whether or not things have changed, or simply if we have more data now, it's hard to sleuth out some of that. For Iowa, for example, the past recommendations were summarized across the state based off of only a handful of locations. So northern Iowa was treated the same as southern. So the planting date recommendations were later for the whole state than what we have currently. So all of our recommendations now are sooner or earlier for the state of Iowa. I don't know with some of that if you're combining so many locations and trying to come up with one recommendation, if it's simply because of that, or if the spring climate has changed inherently. One thing also in the past research, planting dates typically were not extended before about April 20th. So you also don't have a large amount of data early April to show what's really happening. And that's why most of our recommendations always show 100% yield for the Corn Belt being around early to mid-May. And it's just partly related to not enough planting dates in April helping to solidify that response.
Our corn breeder, I think some of our hybrids today do a better job of at least coming back from the frost damage or from the cold snap.
Chad, I don't have any direct evidence of that, but I mean, I said that may very well be. They may be more cold tolerant. Yeah, it's kind of a chicken and egg problem, it seems to be. I think that's what we're trying to do. You know, are the farmers planting early because it's warmer, or are they just planting early because they want to plant earlier?
As an extension publication, would you put probabilities of killing crops? Because you can calculate those. I mean, you take 30-year data, weather data, 20-year weather data, you can put probabilities in on a killing crops. Would you include that in this recommendation?
I think.
Just say it's rare enough that farmers don't care. I mean, if it's 5% or 10%, that means it's probably not very likely. We did very similar work with population variable. And I guess a couple of points in one question. Well, one point is quit while you're ahead, because next year you're not going to like the results. You'll have to decide whether to keep them or throw them out. One of the things we had happen, I know it happened this year one time, we put all the nitrogen on at the early planting time, and we lost a fair amount by the last planting time. What do you do in terms of nitrogen?
Yeah, that's a great point. So question in terms of management, how did we make all the plots fair in terms of nitrogen or weed control or anything like that? There were difficulties, especially with weed control and then with the nitrogen. All the sites that went into this were corn soybean plots. There were also about 4 site years of corn on corn, but those were just at a couple locations, so those didn't get pooled into this into these recommendations. So for these, it's corn, soybean, and then we typically went on the high end for nitrogen to try and ensure that everything would have enough. So we only went in at one time or used a blanket application. We didn't use any type of split applications or that type of thing. So typically we use 150 pounds of nitrogen per acre. Yeah. Yes. No, before the first planting, on that planting date across all the plots, right? Yes. And then with weed control, we used a burn down herbicide, and if possible, or for sure a pre-emergence herbicide. That was one thing that we really wanted in those plots, and then a post-application. But as you'd imagine, with the fifth planting dates, if they're sitting bare, the weeds come up. So we'd often have to go in with either hand control or second application of a post herbicide to try and make it as fair as possible. Other questions? Okay, well, thank you very much.